From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Molnine. It's Tuesday, May 10th. Coming up, while we've had plenty of rain in Illinois, a few recent rains are not enough to erase drought conditions across the Great Plains. We get a closer look from Harvest Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. State Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman says she'll retire in July after 48 years on the bench at every level of the judiciary. Garman's resignation comes after the June primary election, so members of the High Court will appoint a successor to serve until the 2024 primary. Garman began her legal career in Danville and serves the 4th Division of the state, which corresponds to the 4th Appeals Court District. There are two other Supreme Court vacancies to fill in the election this November. Those are in the 2nd and 3rd Districts. The best-funded candidate in the Illinois Republican primary for governor yesterday dodged questions about his support for Donald Trump and Roe v. Wade. Richard Irvin won't say whether he voted for Trump in 2020 or whether he'd support Trump in 2024. He blames Governor J.B. Pritzker for those questions.
I'm not going to fall into the trap of J.B. Pritzker talking about what he thinks we should be talking about in this campaign.
Irvin told reporters he's anti-abortion, but supports it in cases of rape, incest, or when the mother's life is in danger. He won't talk about the U.S. Supreme Court's potential to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Until we get the final decision from the Supreme Court, I think it's irresponsible for us to hypothesize.
Irvin made his comments at an unrelated news conference about 2020's COVID outbreak at the LaSalle Veterans Home. Supporters of abortion rights in Champaign-Urbana gathered Sunday to advocate for reproductive rights after the leak of a Supreme Court draft opinion that would overturn the landmark Roe v. Wade decision on abortion. Illinois Newsroom's student journalist Luis Velasquez has more.
Our streets! Our streets!
About 100 people gathered for the rally to support reproductive rights, including the right to get an abortion. The rally began at the University of Illinois alma mater and ended in front of the Champaign County Courthouse. It was organized by the Party for Socialism and Liberation and the U of I chapter of Amnesty International. Nina Stepiantz is the incoming External Affairs Coordinator of Amnesty. She says the rally can encourage people to get educated on the issue.
And also for support, making sure that all of these people know that they're not alone in this fight, and that if people are going through a rough time because of the news or anything in general, that there are supportive, loving people in this community who will fight for their rights and all of our rights collectively.
She says, even though abortion rights will remain protected in Illinois, regardless of the possible Supreme Court decision, it is important to realize how other states could possibly be affected. I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
About 20 counter-protesters who support the Supreme Court draft opinion were also near the rally at the alma mater. Officials at the Champaign County Jail say they're moving inmates out of the downtown Urbana facility as they prepare for its closing. County officials have long worried about conditions at the downtown jail, which was built in 1980. It's been criticized for being in poor condition with an obsolete design. County officials have said they would like to close the downtown jail while also enlarging and renovating the satellite jail that opened in East Urbana in the 1990s. But an equally large concern has been staffing shortages at the jail, which Jail Superintendent Captain Carrie Vogus says are a huge problem.
I have to figure out a way that I can quickly make a safe environment for the officers and the inmates. And as of right now, they're working a lot of overtime to keep the staffing numbers the way it needs to be. I can't allow it any longer. We have to do something.
She says about 30 inmates have been moved in the last 2 weeks and 50 are left at the downtown jail. Jail officials are still working out the timeline for moving out the remaining inmates. Vogus says once every inmate is moved, the jail will officially close. Still to come, we'll take a closer look at drought conditions in the Great Plains. We get a look from Nebraska with Harvest Public Media's Elizabeth Rembert coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Molnine. Illinois has received more than its fair share of rain this year, but it's a different story in the Western Plains. Much of Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma are in a drought. Wildfires have swept across the grasslands, and farmers are worried about how they'll make it through the growing season. Even with a few recent downpours, Harvest Public Media's Elizabeth Rembert reports the region is desperate for rain.
Randy Ermacher is in his tractor, planting corn and soybeans in central Nebraska. But you might not be able to tell that, even if you were in the tractor cab with him. The soil is so dry that clouds of dust hang in the air as he drives through his fields.
Not sure how I'm supposed to see what I'm doing tonight.
He tries to turn on the windshield wipers, but...
Well, that didn't help a whole lot.
It's the driest spring Ermacher can remember in his 38 years of farming. It's supposed to be a season of optimism, but he hasn't felt much confidence as he's placed seeds in the ground. It's been too dry and cold, too.
Who wants to put corn in the ground when it's getting down to 25 every night and there's no moisture there? Just had no enthusiasm to go do that.
Drought is a challenge many farmers and ranchers are facing in the middle of the country. More than 80% of the Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma region is at least abnormally dry, according to the National Drought Mitigation Center.
So yeah, when we start looking at the central to southern plains, there's quite a bit of color on the U.S. Drought Monitor map, and that usually means that conditions are not doing too well.
That's Brian Fuchs, a climatologist with the center.
We had a tremendously dry winter through much of the plains, and that was not unexpected, but we really didn't understand last fall what the extent of that dryness was going to be.
And strong winds aren't helping. Oklahoma saw its windiest April since at least 1994. Other states are also seeing gusts with higher wind speeds than average. The high winds and a dry prairie have been the perfect kindling for wildfires. Steve Rice has been busy as a volunteer firefighter in southwestern Nebraska. He remembers driving up to a house on a road sandwiched between hundreds of hay bales.
Every single bale is on fire. There's a wall of fire on each side. And then we sat there in the ash and the smoke and the wind and everything for 3 hours or whatever and tried to protect the house.
They saved the house, but wildfires have burned a lot of hay and grassland, which ranchers rely on to feed their cattle. Rice has been organizing hay donations and getting them to the ranchers that need help.
So they lost their pasture ground, they lost their bales that were in the yards and in the ranches. All of it's gone. It's hard to understand that. But for those farmers, they lost their entire inventory of feed.
The drought means there's not much hay and grassland, even for areas that haven't seen wildfires. Some ranchers are considering selling off cattle because they're worried about feeding them. It's reminding some farmers and ranchers of the last big drought in 2012. Fuchs says it's been about 10 years since the region faced significant drought, and well, its number was up.
And, you know, drought is a natural part of our cycle here, especially here in the plains. That to go 10 years now without seeing a widespread significant drought is quite rare. I guess there's no better way of saying it that, you know, we were due for a drought. We had went quite a long time. And
while droughts are a part of normal life, Kansas meteorologist Chip Redman says climate change could play a part in pushing dryness into drought. He says weather events are getting more extreme, with heavy rain flanked by long dry spells. High temperatures could be another contributing factor.
And so when we look at things like above normal overnight low temperatures, which has been a really common theme of climate change, we can develop drought more readily, potentially.
The Drought Center's research says dry conditions could persist through the end of July. Only one thing left to do, say the farmers and ranchers, pray that recent rains continue. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Elizabeth Rembert.
Nebraska Public Media's Will Bauer contributed reporting to this story, and the Midwest Newsroom's Daniel Wheaton analyzed data. Find this story at IllinoisNewsroom.org to see a map of drought conditions across the Great Plains. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly sunny and warmer today with a high of 88 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Charlie Schlenker, Alex Degman, Luis Velasquez, Madison Holcomb, and Elizabeth Rembert. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.